All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show.
Buddy, disembodied voice. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Eric Zane Show podcast. Describe this as a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures each and every day from this very studio known as the Impact Power Sports Studio. Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. They've got things like side-by-sides, ATVs, UTVs, golf carts, Easy Go golf carts, Yamaha golf carts, scooters, go-karts. God, those are great. Motorcycles, snowmobiles, and a full-service shop that if anything goes wrong with the equipment you already have, or if you need some maintenance done on whatever it is you buy, they can take care of you at Impact Power Sports. They're in Rockford, Michigan, along 14 Mile Road. Thank you so much to Drew and Ron and the crew. Mary Lou, that is Drew's better half. And there you go. Thank you so much. Okay. We have tomorrow another rip-roaring edition of Who Are These Free Beers? I'm excited about that. Ben Glaze and myself will review yet another edition of the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. God, I'm really not liking, by the way, I talked about this recently. I think one of you pointed out that there are years and months where you age dramatically. And then it kind of, like, your system slows down and you stop changing so much. I'm looking like a monster, okay? I might be one of the ugliest people on the planet right now. The aging is happening so rapidly that you can't deny it. Holy fuck. I'm literally looking right at me right now and going, what the fuck? Look at you. I think I actually look more comfortable when I have this disgusted look on my face looking at me. I just picture myself like a frail, old, feeble fuck doddering around the neighborhood, lost. And then people like, oh, there, pop, pop. By the way, runner girl Amy will be happy to know that I'm wearing my pop, pop shirt. A real American hero. Thank you, Amy. I don't know if she's here with us right now. Chris says, that's why most of us do audio only. Yeah, you know, I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Side note, Chris just sent me a note because he was listening to the Lost Zane recordings. And in it, the latest edition that I posted last night, this is back from 2018. I'm on the radio with Ben thinking, oh boy, we're going to change the world with our radio show. And I think I said something about, I like the idea of doing a live video podcast. It was like another prophetic moment. Little did I know that in less than 1 year from that show, which the one I posted yesterday was March 1st, 2018, that was it, you know? Thank you to Kelly DeBlay for reminding me, because I honestly had forgotten until you just wrote it there 30 seconds ago. Happy 9-year fireversary, EZ. Well, thank you. Now that will put some pep into my step. Who says that, by the way? Hey, he's got pep in his step. That's me, I guess. Yeah, 9 years. Happy fireversary. 9-year fireversary. Happy fireversary. Happy fireversary. So fucking weird. I was shocked beyond belief when they actually said, yeah, Eric, we're going to let you go. I was like, what? You can't let me go. I'm the goddamn franchise. Huh? It was a Friday. And I walked into Russ's office, that twat. Tom Cook.
Hey, Tom Cook.
Seated right next to me, didn't say a word. White as a ghost. Whiter than my face is right now. He said, yeah, we're going to let you go. Like, come on, man. As I got up and walked out of the facility, I took the stairs down. And while I was in the stairwell, I called Phil Tower. Phil's a radio pal. At the time, worked for iHeart Grand Rapids. And he ran a portion of that cluster of radio stations. Another guy named Doug Montgomery, who I don't know where Doug is now. He was kind of like the head honcho there. So he passed along the information to Doug Montgomery that I got shit canned. And I called because right away, I'm like trying to get a job. And I tell Phil Tower, I go, yeah, buddy, I'm fucking fired. And he didn't believe it. He did not. He goes, I think you're fucking with me. So much so that he then told Doug Montgomery, who he thought also that this is all just a stunt and it's us trying to fucking fuck with them, which we didn't have any reason to fuck with them because we had been kicking their ass for years. So I go, no, it's legit. And then, so that day ended. And then the weekend came. And then I went, let's see. That was the 12th of Friday. And then in that weekend, that's when I was introduced to anxiety because I'd never been an anxious person at all. I'd never had an anxiety attack. And then I was like, oh, my God. And, It knocked me out, man. It was bad. And so, I had a couple of like thoughts about suicide, and it was really ugly. And I told my wife, so she called in a bunch of friends and, they came over and took my guns. I'll never forget that. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? Yeah, I'm fine. Hey, can we head up to your room and get your guns? I go, what the fuck? Yeah, we're going to go get your guns. Oh, shit. So this is what they describe as calling on the cavalry, you know. And so they take the guns. And then my buddy Dave Velding drives me over to Pine Rest. And I was pretty transparent with the lady who was interviewing me to decide whether or not I'm going to be admitted. And I did not want to be admitted. So I explained to her everything that I'm glossing over right now. And she goes, I really want to leave you here. I really want to keep you here. And you know, I can actually make it so that you're here if you're a danger to yourself. And I think you might be. But she reluctantly let me go home. And I felt a little better over time. But that was a fucking mess. And to this day, I'm still an anxious little fucker. And I didn't realize that if something like this happens to you, sidetracks you in your life, or something bad happens to you, that can kind of flip on a switch inside of your brain, and then you're stuck with it, you know? I mean, I didn't have any worries in the world prior to February 12th, 2016. I was like, I didn't give a shit about anything. I was making cheddar. I was having an awesome time. And then all of a sudden, it's done. You're fired. I'm like, oh, my God, holy shit. So that was rough. Then I did the YouTube shows. There was about 30 YouTube shows. And the first, they were all getting like 50, 60,000 views. It was enormous. And then right away, I was like, well, I guess I'll just keep doing this for the time being. And so it kind of like, you know, allowed me a chance to talk to people. I had a different vibe then. I was very much humbled after all that happened. But I started to do them like every day. And, you know, there's a lot of like internal stories that went on during all that. After all that happened, it took from the day I got fired a little over 2 months before I started working at BBL. And then on the day that BBL launched, I kind of just broke down how it went from my end when I got fired. And a lot of people were interested in that story. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back at the time with Free Beer and Hot Wings. They didn't like what I said about my account of what happened. And it's like, well, I mean, that was it. I don't know what to tell you. And they were pissed off. Oh, man. And, you know, honestly, there's not a lot of, it's been so long that it's not really that exciting of a story to tell anymore. You know, everything's already been talked about so many times. I think one of the oddest feelings, though, I think it was more odd of a feeling after I got fired from BBL than when I got fired from Free Beer and Hot Wings, because I was 100% sure that I would get hired by a radio station in Grand Rapids. And I had a long meeting with this, with Phil Tower and Doug Montgomery. We went to Mr. Burger in Hudsonville, and we had a long talk about what we could do. And they wanted me on 101.3, the station that I'm on right now. But back then it was known as The Brew. It was like a classic rock station. And so we're talking about it, and we get to the point where I had an agent at the time, and he calls Tim Fagan, and who is the guy that runs iHeart. I still talk to him today because he's my boss for what I do at Big 101.3. And so Tim said, all right, well, let's talk turkey. What is it going to cost to get Eric over here? And he says like $200,000 a year or something like that. And Tim didn't say, oh, man, I'm going to have to call you back. He didn't say that, and he didn't say, oh, man, there's no way we can do that. He didn't say anything. Like, Blanca said $200,000 a year, and Tim just hung up. He didn't speak. He just hung up the phone. So that Blanca's going, are you there? Hello? So he calls me. He goes, yeah, I don't think he's going to go for that. I don't know what you're going to do. I said, okay, well, I guess we wait. Time passes. I get a phone call from Cumulus. They said, hey, we want you to meet with the general manager and the like the program director of the radio station. They want to talk to you. I go, okay, great. We go to a restaurant. While I'm there, now you got to understand, the iron is very, very hot at this point. And we sit down at this table at a restaurant in Allendale. And two or three people come walking up. And they're like, oh, hey, how you doing? Can I get a selfie? Oh, my God, I can't. You're not on the radio. Oh, my God. And, you know, all that shit. And these two, they don't really, they had an idea. I mean, they knew that I had some juice, but they weren't really sure how much. I mean, our show was through the roof at the time. And so this was a very, very big deal. So they're like, what the fuck? And that, in fact, led to them thinking that I actually did that on purpose. Like, I set them up Like I paid those people to come and say it just to impress them. So the next meeting, they said, we're not going to tell you where we're going. They actually did this. We're not going to tell you where we're going until 10 minutes before. And they were like, they told me that. And I go, okay, fine. I don't give a shit. Sure enough, we went, met at another place. And the same fucking thing happened. And that's when they knew that this was legit. So I said to them in the first meeting, I want $200,000. And then they said, now I didn't expect to get it. I really didn't. But they came back the second meeting after all those people came forward and they whittled it down. They said, we can only pay you 180. I go, sold. And I didn't think, cause I was making 160 from GRD. So I got a pay raise. Now you're like, wait a minute. Haven't you talked about making $450,000? Well, you got to remember, GRD paid me 160. And then you had the syndication money. So that was gone. That's where the rest of the money came from. I no longer earned that. They bought me out. So that was done. That's why you have an anxiety attack. I'll tell you what, if you go from having a $450,000 a year job to zero, that's going to make you go through a goddamn anxiety attack. That's gonna send you to Pine Rest. 450 to zero? Fuck yes, it is. That was bad. So, all right, we're off and running. Cumulus. 2 months later. Let's see. Chris says $180,000 till you fight with Ben and make fun of the pumpkin kid. Yeah, eventually, they whittled me down to less than half. Like my final contract that I agreed to at Cumulus, because nobody was listening to our show. I still to this day maintain that it was a good show and it was really starting to take off. But for one reason or another, nobody listened to it. And I got into so much trouble there at Cumulus, which is what I do. All right. If I am working at a radio station, I am going to get in trouble. There is no, I'm going to fuck something up. I'm going to do something silly. It's going to be hilarious, but it's going to be a problem. I did exactly that at Cumulus. And they eventually said, all right, we're going to give you a, here, we're going to pay you $80,000 a year. I was like, what the fuck? So I agreed to it because I had nothing else. And then when they finally fired me from that job in January of what year was that? 2019. And I didn't have anything. Now then I've exhausted. There are no radio stations that want me. I was going to sell motorhomes. Now that was even more fucked up. I was like, I don't know. I mean, at least on the first one, I knew what I could do. I knew I could still go get another gig. But after I fucked that one up, I'm like, now what? Now what do we do? So when I sat down on 2 days after that and recorded a podcast, even doing that, I didn't even have any idea that I would be like doing this for a living. That was days after that. Chris says, I still think it's so old school how they track radio ratings, LOL. He says plenty of people listened. Probably, but the way they do it is they have 300 people in this community of a million people, and then they write down in a notebook their listening habits, and then they mail the notebook in to Nielsen, and then they go, okay, here's who's listening. Of those 300 people, we have surveyed that these trends, they extrapolated out over the community, and they, okay, there you go. I don't know. Didn't matter. Nowadays, ratings do not matter. No matter whatsoever, because all that matters is, the only number that matters is dollars and cents. Now, ratings used to be critical because you could charge more because of your higher rating. Okay? So these companies that are like ad agencies, it's called cost per point. And they would buy radio stations. They would buy the top three rated radio stations. And they would be paid accordingly based on their ranking. Now, nobody pays that same cost. So if it was like $300 for one 60-second commercial, they're still trying to charge more than that now, but the audience is dramatically less. Ad agencies are smarter. They spend their money in other forms of advertising these days. So it doesn't matter the ranking anymore. It just doesn't perform, amazingly. Not by design, and none of this was because I'd made some smart move or anything like that. The only thing I did that was calculated was when Ben and I got suspended for that on-air fight we got in October of 18. The only calculated move was creating this Patreon that I have and setting up the t-shirt page and getting the website going. That was the only thing that was calculated. And I wasn't even sure what I was going to do with it. Because at that time in October, I thought I was actually getting shit canned. So I'm like, well, I better do something. The week comes and goes, and they invite me back. They invite Ben and I back. We kissed, made up, and then that was the end of that. But I still had the Patreon. It just was dark. So then when I finally got shit canned, I went, oh, well, I got this. I'll just do that. So off we go. But it, I think possibly that just by dumb luck, in the 6+ years that I've been podcasting, we've been in this weird type of thing where radio seems less and less viable, you know? I mean, I if you were to go up to a group of people that are 30 and under and say, you know, like take like a poll, an informal poll about radio listening, a lot of those people wouldn't be able to participate because they just don't do it, you know? So that's just fucking weird. Ben says he still feels bad about that suspension. Well, look, dude, come on now. You were a lot younger. We were both very immature. You know, I overreacted. Shouldn't have overreacted the way I did. And I had no business sending you home. Nor did I have any business reacting like a hothead. I mean, it was a different time for me, frankly. Much more composed these days, I think, most of the time. But no, that was, I mean, you didn't know what to do. What the fuck? You got a job to do too, so I wouldn't feel bad about that at all. So no big deal. And but that what's interesting about that is we had we were just coming off of a solid performance. I think we had like our best ratings of our time together prior to that. In the summer months, the ratings came out and we did pretty well. I know that the radio station handled it weird because Chris says, plus we got to listen to the Moose talk about sports for a week. And then Cole, that's what he points out too, the radio station, they ended up suspending us and didn't say anything. And then they wiped us clean from the radio station and just put on another show and didn't actually acknowledge that we had left. So the audience was left hanging. In the meantime, I had a number of local sponsors that I was like the endorser for. Catholic Charities, car dealership, what's the name of that fishing tackle place? Alan Bob's, John and Bob's, Bob and Bob's. So I'm generating money with those sponsors. And they're kind of hooked to the show. They're connected to the show. Without me, they're not, you know. So I was pals with all of them. And they all said, all right, well, if you're not there, we're not going to support them. We're not going to give them any money. And I go, yeah, well, just, and I actually said, I go, well, you should tell them. So they did. So I get all these emails that I'm blind copied on from these advertisers saying, yeah, bring Eric back or we're not spending any more money with you. So that was like my last flex ever on the radio was that. So they invited me back, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. And then Ben and I got fired a few months later. Chris says, I don't blame you guys for being anxious. I would be too after that, especially when you heard someone in the producer booth talk about you, but you didn't know the context. Yeah, Gates and Michelle. Oh, no. Fuck. All right. Cole says you had the Zaniacs go to the station on your behalf with a laughy emoji. Yeah, I did not know about that, as you know. I know you're being silly. God, that was so bad. That was yet another red flag about the former Zaniacs, about how ridiculous these maniacs were. This story's great. Oh, my God. We hadn't been on very long doing the show on BBL. This is before Ben. And the radio station cut my show off an hour early. It was going till 10. They said, hey, we're missing the first hour of Dan Patrick, and the audience is really mad. So they, like, overreacted and cut my show by an hour. Whatever. I'm not aware this happened, but days later, Dave Jackanet, the program director, comes walking into the studio, and he's completely flabbergasted, and he explains to me what he had been through in the previous handful of minutes. Ben and I and Julius, Ben, I take it back, Ben wasn't there. Julius and I had no idea that this happened, but Mike Pellerito decided that he wanted to have a word with radio station management over how they took away an hour of my show. Imagine that. I do not know this is happening. Pellerito takes the elevator up, and just a complete lapse in security, because we did have security measures there, but I don't know how the fuck he managed to do it. I think it was because Jackanet, he did a show on the AM station. It was like a 1 hour local talk show. It was called like Sound Off West Michigan or some shit on the AM station. So Jackanet is getting ready to do a show. The minutes leading up to it, it's quite often when guests will show up at the front desk and say, yeah, I'm here to see Dave Jackanet because they're going to be on a show. It'd be like the guy who runs the local Boys and Girls Club or, you know, some charity, the local shit like that. And he's going to interview them. Well, it just so happens that on that fucking day, Pellerito wakes up, trims his line beard. His line beard, I should say. I said lime.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Trims his line beard. And goes up to the receptionist desk and says, oh, I'm here to see Dave Jackanet. And she goes, oh, thank you. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to take you to the green room.
And he's like, okay.
So she leads Pellerito into the green room where the guests wait. So there's other guests there and Pellerito. And knows what he's doing. Who knows? He doesn't strike me as that smart. Maureen says, was Stalkerito dressed in a Santa suit when he did that? Well, Jackanet comes in and he's like, oh, hey, how you doing, Mr. Boys and Girls Club? Good to see you. Oh, hey, how you doing, Catholic Charities? Good to see you. Yeah, can't wait to talk local stuff with you. It's going to be awesome here on Sound Off West Michigan. And Who are you?
I'm Mike Pellerito.
Oh, I don't have you on the list of guests for the local show here.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about something.
Oh, did we book this?
No.
What can I, huh?
Yeah, I'm just here to talk about you taking away 1 hour of the Eric Zane show in favor of Dan Patrick.
And he's like, he turns whiter than my face is right now. And he's like, oh, come with me. And Pellerito gets up. And Jack Annette's walking through the hallway. And Pellerito's following him. And Jack Annette goes to the lobby, opens up the glass doors, hits the button on the elevator. He goes, here's where you go. You have to leave immediately. And that's the end of it. I don't know how you got through security or what you did, but you cannot be here right now. Leave immediately. He kicks him out. Then he comes into my studio and says, you won't believe what just happened to me. Ugh. So then I find out about this and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? How could you possibly have thought that that was a good idea? You come to my work and talk to my boss? My God. So look, it's a very important for audience members here who don't know the history of this idiot. This is, I should have known, man. And at the time I was in a very vulnerable spot where I didn't know if I had any audience at all. And he was like so helpful, but something, there was alarms going off in my head. I was like, yeah, I don't know. Something seems off about this guy. It started when he was weeping at the hockey game when I showed up for my first public appearance after I got fired from Free Beer. What a sicko fuck. Chris says, did he cry for management? Probably. Tyler says, quote,
my name is Mike Pellerito. I have a bomb strapped to my chest and we'll set off unless you give Eric Zane his hour back.
Maureen says, it's not just weird, it's crazy. Maureen says, or Tophus says, wow, he wants to wear your skin. Yeah, this is a fucking weirdo. If I ever go missing, this is who you need to, this is who you tell police to go check on, okay? It's this guy, and he's still obsessed. He writes songs about me wearing Santa Claus suits. This fucker is crazy because Mike was the leader of this pack of Zaniacs and they all wanted to like sink their claws in, you know, and like own it. And it just got to be too much. And that was the great Zaniac exodus when I said, all right, you guys all have to go. That's it. Megan says he does. Yeah, he posted a video around Christmas time, Megan, of him wearing the Santa Claus suit, singing a Eric Zane Christmas carol and referring to himself as Creepy Santa because that's what we referred to him on this show after his behavior the previous year at the Great Food Giveaway. This guy's a fucking nut job. What does Joe say? I don't know if Joe Pellerito is still in the fold involving this show. If he is, he's silently observing. I know Mike still listens, but I don't know if Joe does. Joe might be, he might feel bad because of how hard I go on his brother. Okay, let's see. There was a text I wanted to read. It was just hilarious concerning the great Zaniac exodus of whatever year that was. I still love when the Zaniacs, Adam writes, left and you were calling Andrea and Mike Pellerito on the phone. One of the best shows you ever did. Quote, do any more of you fucking assholes want to ask questions? Adam Balboa always sends me lines like that I have no idea that I said. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have no memory of that, but it sounds hilarious. I'm like, I did? Megan says that Joe Pellerita was a cool dude. I've always loved Joe. I think if he is still enjoying the show, then he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because he likes the show. Joe has a brother named Mike. I don't know their relationship. He has never spoken about the relationship to me. I don't ask, frankly. You know, that's not my place. I don't concern myself with that. I mentioned runner girl Amy earlier. She is here. She sent me a video. It was just from the dashboard of her car, looking at the road as she's driving. And she was listening to, I think, the Patreon yesterday. And I was going off about performers who get busted with drugs and then they then go into rehab and come out of rehab. And like what Eminem did. You'd have to hear it, but it went on, and it was the typical horse shit that I do every fucking day for the last however many years. And she is a giggly little thing. Seriously, she is one of the few people who finds what I do to be funny. And she, like, laughs outwardly at it. And I always crack up when I see her laughing at the shit I say, okay? And it makes me laugh. In this video from her car, you can't see her, unfortunately, because I'd like to actually see her reacting to it. But you can hear her, and she goes, oh, my God, I realized that my dash cam was recording when I was listening to what you were talking about with Eminem and Kanye. And sure enough, it's on there, your voice and me laughing at it. And it's just ridiculous to hear. I should probably share that video if it's okay with you. But that was very, very fun. Thank you for sharing that. I often wonder what the hell I say lands. Now, it doesn't have to be a laugh. But, you know, what's interesting? What's something that makes you, something you remember? Or if it's funny. She says, share away, I don't care. Okay, excellent. If I don't do it right away, somebody remind me. You know how I am. I got to write it down. Amy video. And you're literally watching her drive down these streets of West Michigan and then pull into her driveway. The garage goes up and she's still cracking up, listening to whatever shit I'm saying. And you see what's inside of the garage is like an old-ass bike. There's a kayak and, you know, whatever else is in there. So there you go. Molly says, the crispy R thing. I love, LOL. You mean like when I do crispy R's or when I play people with crispy R's? Let's see. Do I have a crispy R supercut nearby? I do. I think I just updated it to. This is taking a page from Who Are These Free Beers, which happens tomorrow night. Here is the Kelly Cheese Crispy R Supercut. There's been more than one, but this is the latest.
Cream.
Craigslist.
Great. Cream cheese. Graham cracker. Cream cheese. Crayons. How do you guys say cream? As clean or crisp? Oh.
Cream. Cream. How do you guys say cream? God, it's such a... It's like a transfer of vocal energy going from the front of the mouth to the back of the mouth. Like if a normal person says cream, it's up here. It's up by my teeth and the tip of my tongue. Cream, cream. But if you say cream, you can feel that little fucking thing in the back of your throat going cream, 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 cream cheese. How do you guys say cream? Graham cracker.
Cream.
Craigslist.
Great. Cream cheese. Graham cracker. Cream cheese. Crayons. How do you guys say cream? As clean or crisp?
Graham cracker.
Graham cracker.
Graham?
Graham.
Cracker.
Cracker. Graham Cracker.
Wow. What a disability. She's overcome so much, frankly. I don't know how she manages to do that. My God. All right. There was something else I wanted to play for you, supercut-wise. This is the free beer. I'm just kidding. Supercut. Just a portion of what we're going to cover on tomorrow's Who Are These Free Beers show, which you can get it live as it happens with video for free. What? Yes. Sign up at patreon.com/Eric Zane for a 7-day free trial right now. You don't want to miss it. The show debuts episode number 44, Who Are These Free Beers, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Just go to patreon.com/Eric Zane and sign up for 7 days free.
11 would be dead if she wouldn't have gotten cuter.
Okay, hang on. It's just not loud enough.
11 would be dead if she wouldn't have gotten cuter. I'm just kidding. Thanks for supporting China.
But
I'm just kidding. Gender still matters, Kelly. Just kidding. Feel that in my taint. Just kidding. We could just put a poster up. Just kidding. She sweats for no reason. Just kidding. Everybody's probably home in bed. Just kidding. I have a brother older than my mom. Just kidding. Someday I should do it where all 10 answers are passed. Just kidding. Not stupid. I was still impressed. Just kidding. I'm stupid. She hates you. Just kidding. What'd she say?
Well,
I'm just kidding. I'll make a decision. The hamburgers have it. Congratulations. Just kidding. It's not how it works. Break up with that guy. Yeah. I think it's the right thing
it's
to do.
Fine. Yeah.
7 years is a good run.
It's over.
Just kidding. Mate, what's your goon sitch? Just kidding. No, we're having Kraken. Just kidding. It's turkey. Okay. If you can get it. No, just kidding. It's for the biggest piece of crap ever. Just kidding. Let's try it Friday. Just kidding. Well, he stole that baby.
Yeah, he got a little surly.
Just kidding.
Come on, man. What the fuck? On the Crispy R Talk, Tofus says, why the fuck can't she overcome that? She does occasionally. She says it non-crispified. She'll say graham cracker. But I would say 85 to 90% of the time, she's going to say graham cracker. I told you, she's disabled. Molly says, another one of my favorite moments is I get more people talking about this. When you were talking with Diane on the phone and she blew the horn and we all asked her why she blew the horn and she said it wasn't me. And we said, yeah, it was. And she says, no, it wasn't. And she called all of you liars. I still believe that she laid on the horn in like a fit of road rage. It was a fantastic moment. Tofus says that's why they only pay her $70,000. It's much less than that. It's $60,000. Molly says she did. I know she did. I'm with you. Diana is a deny till you die. Okay? I 1,000,000% believe that. That she did that. She is a filthy liar. You know, and that's where my son gets it. So I just don't ask too many questions to these folks. I'm just like, because they lie to me every time. They lie to me when they say I love you. That's the truth. All right. Okay, for you folks that are with me on Facebook and YouTube, it is time for me to say goodbye to you. Now, if you want the rest of this free podcast, you have to go to my spot on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live or download the Twitch app and then search at Eric Zane Live, all one word, and then the rest of the show happens. Monday through Thursday, typically around 10 a.m. Today was 10. Today I was on time. Fridays, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, the live show right here on Twitch. I play the first however long, this case 46 minutes, on Facebook and YouTube, and then I kick you all out and then encourage you to check me out on Twitch. So please do that. Also, if you ever want to reach out to me, send me an email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. If you or someone you know or love as a business, you want to market, they want to market on the podcast, reach out to me. I can figure out something for you. The Shoreliners Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. As I mentioned earlier, the Patreon, that is another platform where I do even more podcasting more than this. It's its own thing, and I upload to it every single day. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. So if you like the free podcast, you'll love the Patreon. It is commercial free. It is powered by subscriptions. You can sign up for $5 a month for all the audio, $10 a month for the audio, the video, and the live streams. And if you sign up for the 7 days free, it's there for you to take advantage of. You have to put in a payment form, but go ahead and cancel it right after you put it in. And then you get the 7 days free, and I won't inadvertently charge you. And if you still want it after the 7 days, go back into your profile and just re-enable your card, and then we will continue our business transaction. So thank you for watching on Facebook and YouTube. In fact, Facebook and Twitch brought to you today and every day by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. You can find them in the middle of Grand Rapids, Michigan, 616-532-6600. A trusted place to get your vehicles repaired. We've had a wonderful relationship for 6 years now. Being pals, they've been a key sponsor. We'll be pals for life. And we take all of our cars there to get repaired. And you should too. They have free loaner cars, so it's not any messing with your work week, getting you to and from your job and whatnot. All you have to do is reach out, 616-532-6600. The website is ervines.com. That's ervines.com. The Grand Rapids Gold are back. They've got a basketball game coming up on Saturday, February 22nd, 10 days from now. That's their next home game. I'll be there, and I want you to be there. It's Paw Patrol night. The kids love Paw Patrol, so all the Paw Patrol characters are going to be there. You're going to have a ball. You're going to get freebies when you walk in the door. Tickets are cheap. Beer is cheap. I take it back. The beer is anything but cheap. The beer is super expensive. But anyway, GrandRapidsGold.com for tickets. The game, again, February 22nd. That is a Saturday. Get your tickets for Paw Patrol night for the Grand Rapids Gold, key sponsor of the Eric Zane Show podcast. Frank Fuss is the licensed independent insurance agent slash broker of this very show. So what that means is whenever I have an insurance question, and that happens from time to time, Frank is my guy. So this all started when I started to get my health insurance from healthcare.gov or Obamacare. Now, anybody can do that. They can sign up and do it themselves, but it's a pain, and you might mess it up. Frank is a pro. He helps you every step of the way. His services cost nothing. Get started at buyinsurancehere.com. He can also help you if you are taking advantage of Medicare for your retirement years, or someone you know or love is, or you're getting started with your Social Security benefits. Frank can help with all of that. That requires a bit of planning. Go to buyinsurancehere.com. Frank will help you every step of the way. When you go there, that's just like a landing spot for you to put your information in, and then he's got you on his radar. He'll contact you about when you're supposed to meet. Okay, so there you go. Outstanding. So there's been a story that's been bubbling under for a period of time about a asteroid in, I don't know, sometime in the 2030s. 7-8 years from now, maybe, that actually does have a chance of striking the Earth. Very, very small chance. It is called, it's called YR4. Asteroid YR4. Don't know why they call it that. And it was given like a 1.2% chance of slamming into the Earth in December of 2032. So it's they just found it, actually. This is one that they just saw recently. They just discovered this asteroid called 2024 YR4. We'll be calling it a lot more than that if it actually slams into the earth. 1.3% probability. So they see it, they plot out it's where it's going, and then it, you know, it's orbiting the earth, comes back, and, you know, they, as we get closer to the date that it's supposed to be 1% chance of hitting the earth, as you get closer to that date, they get a better idea. Now, I don't think anybody saw coming that the asteroid that we just discovered, that we would be changing the percentage of probability of it hitting the earth anytime soon. Because like I said, they just found out about this thing a few months ago. And then the story came out, 1.3% chance. Today, breaking news, it has increased. The likelihood is now over 2%. So in just a few months, it's gone from 1.3% probability of hitting the earth to 2.1% probability of hitting the earth. I wish in the article they explain, you know, just in dumb people terms, what you do to figure that out. I mean, is it just you just redid the math and somebody fucked up, or who knows? I mean, between now and 2032, that's a pretty long time. I mean, who knows what can happen to that thing? It might hit a fucking little rock or some shit, and now it goes from just over 2% to 92%. Tyler says, I can't wait to see how this affects the doomsday clock. Remember that doomsday clock? Those nerds are like, oh my God, we're moving it closer to zero. We're moving it closer to midnight. So, right. Now, when these things come in, this one is, I forget the size of it. I think it's listed here somewhere. How big this thing is. It's between 130 feet and 330 feet in diameter. And there was one of these that hit way back in 1908. You may have seen photos of this. The Tunguska asteroid. It hit in a remote area of, I think, Siberia. And this is pretty interesting. This is what it looks like now. But there's all sorts of images from way back when. And the interesting thing, these are all the trees laid flat. When that moment happened, it's such a remote location that they couldn't actually visit it until significant time after that incident happened, like years later. There have been some conspiracy theorists that have suggested that that was not an asteroid and that it was like aliens or something like that. I don't believe that. If this one hits, it is not a planet killer. I don't even think it's a city killer. I mean, a lot of people would be dead if it hit in the right area. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, if you're like on one side of the globe and that fucking thing hits, which, by the way, it would never actually come in contact with the Earth. When these things fly in, they're getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And then they get to a point before they actually hit the Earth where they explode. Massive explosion, like thousands of times bigger than like the atomic bomb. So that is a city killer. And that's what Tophis is saying right now, that this one is big enough to level a city. Like if it flew in and landed on Manhattan, Manhattan would probably be wiped out. We're talking about a massive casualty event, the most significant thing in millenniums. many, many millennia, I should say. So that's a little fucked up. I often wonder about what would life would be like on Earth if, because we're going to know, like I said, if the nerds are doing the math, like, hey, it's gone up to 2.3%. You know, that's a little weird. Yeah, I know, but it's probably fine. And then, you know, who knows? Maybe they did the math wrong and it's actually much greater than that. But we still got enough lead up time where like 3 years before, they're going to say, yeah, it's 99%. It's going to hit us. Like, we know that may happen going forward. They're going to keep a close eye on this. So the plan is, from what I'm understanding, is they're going to take that big fucking telescope that they sent up there, the Spud Webb telescope or whatever the fuck it is, and just its sole job now is to watch this thing and figure out what to do with it. Now, we do have the ability to, we practiced this, remember? It wasn't that long ago that we smashed something into the side of one of those asteroids that's flying up there to knock it off course just a little bit to see what it would do. I think they launched like a fucking Chevy Chevette into space and then smashed into it and then it moved it. It moved the asteroid. So they actually have the ability to do that. So I don't know. Maybe that's something that's in the works. You laugh, but there's no other plan. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.